This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:06 in the evening with Lynn, Kelvin and Ayman, and we're joined now by producer Tasha Fusil with the Parliament highlights from the second last day of this sitting. Tasha, how was it today?
Well, there was a protest today outside of Parliament. Today it was by a group of estate workers. They were members of the Estate Society Support Committee, which is a coalition of NGOs. They were asking for the government to enact a new law that would ensure that estate workers have access to permanent housing or have permanent housing even after their contract ends. Here is the spokesperson of the group, Karthikeyan Rajamanikam.
Perjuangan pekerja adalah untuk satu skim perumahan tu yang dijadikan undang-undang. 73, start 73 tapi sampai sekarang ia hanya dijadikan polisi. Bapa Najib mulakan bekas Perdana Menteri Tun Razak tapi sehingga hari ini ia tidak pernah dijadikan polisi. Dan kerajaan sebelum ini, kerajaan Barisan sudah diberitahu dan sudah diberikan memorandum sebagainya. Last 1999 kita sudah bagi memorandum kepada di Parlimen. Selepas 20 tahun kita datang hari ini untuk menyerahkan kepada kerajaan baru, kerajaan pusat Pakatan Harapan, untuk menyuarakan kepada mereka satu undang-undang Akta Perumahan Ladang harus dilaksanakan supaya memberi satu jaminan security kepada semua pekerja ladang sama ada sedang bekerja atau sudah dihentikan kerja, binakan rumah untuk mereka. Jangan usir mereka keluar. Itu adalah kita punya tuntutan.
S. Arishalvan from Parti Socialist Malaysia was there as well. Here's what he said.
Estate ini does not come under the purview of any specific ministry. That means like if you're in a rural area, nelayan, fishermen, petani and all that, you have Kementerian Pembangunan Luar Bandar. That means your houses are all taken care, there's a Dewan Orang Ramai and all that. Estate workers comes under the Majikan. So in many estates today, last time that when estates were big, they had klinik kesihatan. They used to have creches, asuhan kanak-kanak. All that now has been closed down. You see, so we are asking the government not to treat the estate workers as if it's an employer-employee, you know, as a society, as a community. And then the KPKT ministry, they said they will build houses. But most of the houses in KPKT cannot afford to buy. Because the cheapest house is 42,000. Even that 42,000, less than 5%, they build 42,000. Rest are called 250,000 house. They consider it rumah mampu milik. Estate workers don't mampu milik. With the so low salary, they cannot mampu milik.
Another demand was to increase the minimum wage to 1,800 ringgit. The protesters then managed to hand over their memorandum to representatives from the Ministry of Housing and Local Government, the Prime Minister's Department, as well as the Human Resources Ministry.
What else happened today?
Okay, so the Water, Land and Natural Resources Minister, Dr. Xavier Jayakumar, said in Parliament today that the government will stop paying the 150 million ringgit subsidy to Indah Water Consortium within the next 5 years. And he says that this is because IWK will be expected to be financially independent by then.
Sekarang kita adakan satu program rasionalisasi untuk IWK keseluruhannya. Memang tiap-tiap tahun sekarang mulai dari tahun yang lepas dan juga tahun hadapan, kerajaan persekutuan subsidi kepada IWK dekat 150 juta ringgit setahun. Tanpa subsidi itu, kita akan adakan masalah perkhidmatan di dalam syarikat IWK. Tetapi kita telah ambil tindakan-tindakan sewajarnya di dalam tempoh 5 tahun yang akan datang. Kita akan adakan beberapa program di mana subsidi ini akan menurunkan. Kita akan berhentikan pemberian subsidi dari kementerian kepada IWK sebab projek dan program yang kita telah atur di dalam 5 tahun ini akan lihat bahawa IWK akan jadi financially independent dan tak payah tanggung kepada subsidi dari kerajaan persekutuan.
The minister also said that the move to integrate the water supply bill with the sewerage bill isn't going to lead to a tariff increase.
All right, so we'll be expecting more updates from Sean Tanis later on during Market Wrap about integrating these two bills. Was there anything else of note that happened today, Tasha?
Yeah, there was a question on the number of e-hailing drivers who have obtained the PSV license. Nearly 92,000 drivers have the license. Here's Transport Ministry Anthony Lok with more.
Sehingga 2 Disember 2019, seramai 91,978 orang pemandu e-hailing telah berjaya dilisenkan, manakala seramai 42,818 orang calon pula telah gagal. Namun begitu, saya nak memberikan konteks bahawa walaupun ada 42,818 orang calon yang gagal, tetapi angka ini adalah angka kumulatif. Dan daripada 42,000 lebih ini, kebanyakan mereka juga telah pun mengambil peperiksaan semula dan sebahagiannya juga telah pun lulus. Untuk maklumat Ari yang berhormat juga, lesen PSV yang dikeluarkan oleh Jabatan Pengangkutan Jalan Malaysia adalah bagi semua pemandu kenderaan perkhidmatan awam yang turut merangkumi teksi dan bas. Jumlah terkumpul lesen PSV yang masih aktif adalah 358,944. Untuk pemandu teksi, jumlah PSV untuk pemandu teksi ialah 28,860 orang. Kewujudan kenderaan e-hailing dapat memberikan peluang kepada penumpang untuk memilih perkhidmatan awam yang lebih cepat, murah dan efisien dalam menuju ke sesuatu destinasi.
There was also a supplementary question from the Kuala Kangsar MP, Datin Mastura Muhammad Yazid, who asked about the safety of female passengers in the event that motorcycle e-hailing services are established here. The minister responded by saying that there will be a trial period for the implementation of motorcycle e-hailing. We spoke about this also before, and that they will be studying any issues that arise.
Kita faham bahawa sentimen, terutamanya keselamatan untuk wanita. Dan ini antara syarat yang telah pun diletakkan oleh agensi pengangkutan awam darat untuk pastikan bahawa isu keselamatan ini dapat dipertingkatkan. Kerajaan bersetuju untuk memberikan satu tempoh masa untuk diadakan satu trial period, satu pilot project di Lembah Kelang supaya kita lihat bagaimana sistem ini dapat dilaksanakan. Dan daripada eksperimen ini ataupun daripada trial period ini, kita akan melihat apa-apa isu yang timbul dari segi isu keselamatan, dari segi isu penumpang wanita dan sebagainya. Tetapi memang kita memberikan pilihan kepada wanita untuk memilih bahawa kalau mereka nak menggunakan perkhidmatan ini, mereka akan memilih pemandu pun daripada kalangan wanita. Jadi isu ini memang kita amat prihatin dan kita akan pastikan supaya isu keselamatan ini tidak diabaikan.
So that was Transport Minister Anthony Lok. If you have thoughts on, I guess, the safety and implementation of motorcycle e-hailing, because that's something that might be coming our way very, very soon, you know, let us know what they are, especially if you are, because that question was particularly from the point of view of women, right? Mm-hmm. For the safety of women, especially if you're a woman, we would like to hear from you. But either way, motorcycle e-hailing, yay, nay, safe, good. Call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. Tasha, what else happened today?
So our Deputy Primary Industries Minister, Datuk Sri Shamsul Iskandar, said in Parliament that Malaysia is getting ready to take on the European Union after what he describes as palm oil discrimination. And this comes after palm oil was classified as high ILUC or high indirect land use change. Very technical, but it's under the delegated regulation in the EU's revised Renewable Energy Directive. And what this means is that beginning July 2021, Malaysia's palm oil export volume to the EU would be frozen at the 2019 values. Here he is with more.
Delegated regulation di bawah EU Red 2 ini dilihat mempunyai kekurangan dari segi ketelusan, credibility scientific, dan terdapat banyak andaian yang dibuat, memberikan gambaran yang tidak tepat sama sekali terhadap amalan kemampanan lestari yang kita praktikkan dalam industri sawit negara. Selain itu, ia juga dilihat berat sebelah apabila hanya minyak sawit sahaja dikategorikan sebagai mempunyai kadar risiko ILUC yang tinggi dalam kalangan minyak yang lain bagi sumber kepada bayu bahan api. Tindakan ini telah mewujudkan sekatan yang tidak sewajarnya ke atas usaha kemampanan yang telah dan sedang dilaksanakan oleh Malaysia serta seterusnya menyekat amalan perdagangan yang bebas. Tuan dan Pertua, mengambil kira kepentingan industri sawit kepada negara termasuk pembangunan sosioekonomi lebih 3 juta rakyat Malaysia yang terlibat dengan industri sawit, kerajaan berpendirian adalah wajar untuk Malaysia mengambil tindakan yang lebih tegas terhadap EU yang dilihat mendiskriminasi negara pengeluar minyak sawit.
The Primary Industries Deputy Minister also said that the policy violates principles under the World Trade Organization as well as the Agreement on Technical Barriers to Trade. So they're preparing the legal material to take action against the EU.
Berdasarkan kepada semakan dan penilaian awal, Polisi yang dinyatakan dalam Delegated Regulation di bawah EU Red 2 tersebut didapati telah pun melanggar prinsip-prinsip pertubuhan perdagangan dunia di bawah GATT 1994, General Agreement on Tariff and Tariff dengan izin, dan Agreement on Technical Barriers to Trade dengan izin, Tuan Pertua. Dalam hal ini, Malaysia dilihat mempunyai asas yang kuat untuk mencabar EU melalui Badan Penyelesaian Pertikaian di bawah WTO. Dalam hal ini, Kementerian sedang bekerjasama dengan Jabatan Peguam Negara, Kementerian Perdagangan Antarabangsa dan Industri dan Kementerian Luar Negeri untuk meneliti perkara ini dan seterusnya menyediakan kertas perundangan yang sewajarnya. Tuan Pertua, Kementerian sememangnya sudah bersedia insya-Allah dan mempunyai beberapa strategi yang lain serta memastikan langkah di atas terlaksana dengan sewajarnya. Sekian, terima kasih, Tuan Pertua.
So I think I'm going to need a little bit of time to kind of digest all of what you said, because that is an awful lot of highly technical language. I mean, I get that it ultimately boils down to the fact that the EU is saying we are only going to keep up to the 2019 values of what we've been taking from you in terms of palm oil. And we are essentially saying, not cool, we are going to see you in court, is what it sounds like. But I'm also interested by the phrase palm oil discrimination. Yeah, and like what that might entail.
Well, I mean, considering that there are also other crops or commodities that are supposedly harmful to the environment as well. For example, they point out soybean or rapeseed and stuff like that. The fact that the EU is taking action specifically against palm oil, I guess, is what they mean by palm oil discrimination. And Malaysia's stance against the EU's position is that, you know, everyone's talking about free trade, no protectionism against trade, which is what the GATT agreement is all about. So the fact that the EU is thinking about putting these measures against palm oil means that they are going against international agreements that we have all agreed upon.
And it kind of feels like them taking legal action is the most drastic action so far, right? Before this, it's been a lot of like trying to...
We'll talk them down.
Yeah,
we'll
a lot of diplomatic discussions.
Put in money into campaigns and
yeah,
all that.
Yeah, so this is interesting.
So it's been a very long year of talking about palm oil. It's come up, you know, seemingly every quarter. Sometimes it feels like every week. Now that we're winding down, tell us how you feel. I mean, do you agree that this is an example of palm oil discrimination? How do you feel about the fact that we are taking the EU to task for this? Let us know. You can call us at 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
And now moving on to our next thing. It's time to meet an MP. Who will it be today, Tasha?
Today, we have an MP from Kedah who has been the Member of Parliament for his constituency for the past three terms. So here he is with his visions.
Okay, thank you very much. My name is Datuk Johari Abdul and I'm from Sungai Petani. Very interestingly that we are one of the largest town in Kedah. But as far as population is growing, and I think by year 2020, next year, we might have about 600,000 population in Sungai Petani. It's a big town. And we plan Sungai Petani very nicely. Of course, there are a lot of people who complain about this illegal burning of waste and stuff like that. But that is taken care of now because the authority have moved to this illegal factory and they have closed down all these factories. Of course, some illegal activities happen from time to time. That's why they're called illegal. But nevertheless, those problems has been minimized. Nevertheless, the whole town itself is a beautiful town. Now, I envisage probably next 15 to 20 years, this town will merge with probably Seberang Perai and up north with Gurun and probably as far as Baling. So you can see the emergence of this small town would make South Kedah going to be as a city itself. Other than that, I would like to see Sungai Petani as a flower city, more green, as a beautiful blooming of beautiful flowers. And you drive in Sungai Petani, you see greens and yellow. Green mean to say when paddy is growing. Yellow mean to say the paddy is ready to be harvested. So, you know, that kind of environment that you have. And it's a beautiful town.
Oh, that was the MP for Sungai Petani, Datuk Johari Abdul. Tasha, as always, thank you for those updates. You know, I think sometimes it's quite easy to get disillusioned with Parliament, and we've had quite a wild ride over the last this last round. I'm going to miss hearing meet an MP, I have to say.
It's really been quite nice hearing, you know, because I think in Parliament especially, it's usually very much about very national issues. So when you know that a certain MP does actually go down to the ground and visit his their constituency, it really makes a nice idea, a nice POV to know that they are there.
Yes, and now we can also hear about basically what a pretty town Sungai Petani was is, which is kind of lovely. So yes, we've been talking today during Parliament about motorcycle e-hailing, particularly in terms of safety. Is it something that you are looking forward to? Is it something that you're worried about? And also, we are going to be more seriously legally dealing with the EU when it comes to the way that, I guess, palm oil and trade, right? Our relationship in that regard. So let us know what you think. You can call us at 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.